Hello, I'm wearing a mask. This is different. How do you do? This is Bridget Donlum at Drunkology, Rocks, Records, and Relics. It's really fun, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Oh, you know, the huge.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry?
No. Too blessed to be stressed. That's TRC, and we're all here because we're not all there.
How long have you felt this way?
About 3 years since I got here, 3 or 4 years. It's just been amazing. It's just the town itself and all the hot springs and the spiritual things. Never stops moving. It's always in motion from the wind to the waters. It's just the way it makes you feel. And this is latitude 33, which is the positive force that goes around the earth. Not many know that. That's why they feel different when they get here. It's an inner feeling that they don't even know why.
That is so cool.
That's the truth. It's the way it is.
This is Bridget Thumb coming to you live from latitude 33 on planet Earth here in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Welcome to episode 5. Don't worry. That's what this episode is for. This is the episode where we ask our friends if they ever worry. And our friends are Josiah Osego, Fred Ronstadt, Rachel Hoblett, Elijah Thumb, Dr. Nadia Alvarez-Mejia, Stephanie Ings, Michael Wells, and Amber Frame. Plus, we have some guests. We had my friend David there from Junkology, Rocks, Records, and Relics. And we also have a special guest, Brittany Jester, from One of a Kind Gift Shop in Truth or Consequences. And we also talked with Cole McGuire in Santa Fe, New Mexico, because I needed to relax after that last episode. And I did. Went to New Mexico. And along the way, it's always nice to talk to people socially distanced and wearing a mask, of course, as we are still in the middle of a global pandemic.
Do you ever worry?
Absolutely. Too much, probably, I would say.
What do you worry about?
You know, just about life and obstacles and challenges. Whether you're going to be able to complete your goals or, you know, the struggle along the way. But I try not to worry. You know, I focus on not worrying, and that helps me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when you're just in the present moment, like here we are sitting literally by a fire.
Right. I try to stay as present as possible. That's what I try to preach to myself.
I like that. Thank you.
Eli,
do you ever worry?
Yeah, all the time. I worry about so much. Like, it actually kind of makes me a little anxious. Like, when I worry too much, like, I don't know what it is. I know that you worry a lot about things that I do.
Yeah, I worry on your behalf.
You do. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Because, I don't know. When I went and got my job and you were like, what if you get hit in the face? What if you get hit here? Oh, no.
You need context. You need to tell people what your job was.
So, I had a job this October.
Your very first job.
Yeah, it was my first job ever. This place up north, it's called Terror in the Corn. And I had to be an actor for them. Dude, I wasn't like a guy that was popping out of bushes and stuff scaring you. I was a live moving paintball target. I'm sorry, I'm making you cry.
No, it's fine.
There's this
you
live.
You survived.
I did survive. It was basically a firing range, and I had to wander around kind of like a zombie, and then that would be it. And I was kind of worried about the job. Like, I was thinking, like, oh God, what is this oil going to do to my face or like my skin? Things like that. And I'm glad that you were so concerned about it, and you went and got me, like, a $200, like, protection armor suit, which, man, that that thing has seen better days, dude. I love it. I'm not sure if I'll ever wear it again, but at least I have it.
You're 18.
True.
So I have to trade being an overprotective mom for buying you overprotective clothing.
It was
I just had to let you go. I had to let you do it.
You did. And I did. I made money for the first time.
I'm standing on the street in Truth or Consequences in front of a wonderful gift shop called
One of a Kind.
Do you ever worry?
As somebody who struggles with anxiety, I live in a constant bubble of worry, if that makes any sense.
It's almost like a loop.
It is. Like, it really is. Like, it's never ending. There's always something to worry about.
And you have to relax, too.
You have to learn how to relax, which is my problem.
Do you notice it, like, oh, gosh, I actually feel really good right now? Like, and because, like, once you notice it, it's like it goes away.
And that's exactly what I was trying to think. I was like, I don't know, because the second I might realize that something else pops into my head that I have to worry about, like, I don't consciously realize that I'm actually relaxed and my brain is turned off, because it just, the second it realizes that, it starts going again. So I'm like, like I said, it literally feels like I am living in a constant bubble of worry. Like, it never really stops.
And then some random person walks in and asks you.
And asks me if I worry.
The way I think about it sometimes is like, if you didn't worry about earthquakes, you wouldn't make earthquake-proof buildings.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I like to reframe my worry as, like, I'm not necessarily worried as much as I'm concerned,
yeah,
and I care.
Yes. That makes sense. Yeah. I can see
that. Thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome.
I got a good one for you, Josiah.
Do you ever worry?
Oh my goodness, that is yeah,
I know, it's a good one.
Of course. I think to clarify that question is, like, do I ever try to tell the future? My worry is all about, like, how can I influence and control with the most desired results in my life, like, and because if not, this won't happen, or this will be more of a problem, or this, blah, 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 blah. I'm not just worried. I still am scared. You know, I am still fearful. I still get squirrely, you know, and I still feel inadequate. I don't feel that, that I, will succeed at times, you know, and sometimes those ideas are very, they feel real at times.
When you think of things that you are worried about, they kind of point directly at what you care about.
Because yeah,
that's what you want to protect or control too.
Yeah. And I guess my issue with my worry is I get very irrational very quickly. And so I have to rein it in, you know, because there are realistic worries. And I think those help to keep awareness on where I stand in relation to those things that I love and those things that I'm grateful for in my life. I'm fearful of losing those things, you know, and I don't like when things are taken away from me or when something that I feel I deserve should be there. So I get scared, you know, call it what you want, but that's just, you know, that's how my worry kind of works.
Michael Wells?
Do you ever worry?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I'm not a worrier, if that's, you know, I'm not that wired that way. My partner, she worries about things, you know. She's very good at it. She's more practiced than I am. So maybe if I worked on it, I could worry more. I occasionally, like, I do something really stupid. I'll say something about to somebody's face that was just thoughtless. A lot of times I'm haunted by terrible things that I've done in my past, sort of thoughtlessly. And those come back and kind of revisit me once in a while. But I don't really worry about them. You know, sometimes I just sort of feel a sense of, like, oh, I did that. Oh, yeah. Well, don't do that again. It's just, right. I think it's a healthy thing, you know. I think if you didn't make a bunch of terrible mistakes when you were in your 20s, that you didn't really live right. So,
by having those moments of, like, reflection, it's kind of a way that you're communicating to yourself that, yeah, you actually do care. It's,
yeah.
If, you know, it's, well, like, if you didn't worry about it,
then it would almost feel as if you didn't care.
I'd be a psychopath. Yeah, no, I don't spend a lot of time fretting about the future or things like that. I find it's pretty counterproductive. You got bills to pay, you got things to take care of, you know. I just kind of set them aside until the priority is right and the opportunity is right and take care of them. I've also been around long enough to know, like, the hard times, you can just grit your teeth and get through them. You know, it's not like when I was 20, I probably worried more about things because I was just so inexperienced. You know, life seemed like, oh, difficult. And now, it seems a lot easier in a way now because things seem to work out. You know, your capacity to navigate through the gray areas of life, I'm better at that now than I ever was when I was 20. You know, the things that I've experienced and know, it's like, oh, yeah, things tend to work out. You know, I'll be okay.
Hey, Nadia, do you ever worry?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm trying to be always positive and see, you know, things. You know, this way of see life in a very positive mood, it's coming from my mom's family. My grandparents and my uncles, my aunts, they always says to us that there's a solution. And there's coming from, I'm third generation already. Maybe there was more, of course, but just thinking about my grandparents and then the 10 children that they have, and now, you know, the big family, almost 60 members, that many times we're coming together to celebrate something. They always say that there's always a solution. And the other statement, it's like, don't complicate yourself. Almost like there's always a hope. I'm trying to keep that positive way to see things. Of course, many times I'm trying not to think about a lot about the future, but sometimes being a mom, it's almost impossible that you don't think about what it's the future for your children, right? When there's situation happening around the world, of course, I'm also worried about how that affect humanity. How that affect the person that I am, my family, my close friends. Of course, sometimes I'm worried about simple things that I say to myself, I mean, that is not a big thing to be worried, but we are human beings and we are vulnerable. So I think also being worried, it's a way to see that I'm alive. The thing here is how to be worried doesn't affect the beauty of life, even you are a struggle or you have a complicated situation. And again, it's a circle back to what I have learned from my mom's family, right? There's always a solution. Life is beautiful.
And don't complicate yourself.
Mm-hmm. And don't complicate yourself. Yeah, I remember my grandma. She was always like, don't complicate yourself. And my mom always that way. So I'm trying to do the same thing. You know, sometimes I say that to my children and they're looking at me, and especially the youngest one, he's always like, you sounds like my abuela, like my grandma. And I'm like, okay, so I'm doing the job, you know, generation through generation, keeping that spirit, you know, that the life is beautiful. Don't complicate yourself. And there's always a solution.
Stephanie, do you ever worry?
Of course I do. I worry about, you know, my family mostly. I'm an only child. So, like, what does life look like without, you know, the health of my parents? What does that look like in the future for me, for them? I'm really close with both of my parents. My mom recently went through hip surgery, and she's already beat cancer. So she's, you know, so amazing. Wow. And so incredibly strong person. Going through these things together as a family, you know, makes you worry and think about those things, because I want, you know, my family to be happy and healthy. And, you know, same with my friends, you know, healthy physically, healthy mentally, all those things. So I think I worry about that quite a bit. The health of those around me, the health of me personally, you know, how much I can give of myself to help people when they do, you know, need me, and still trying to take care of myself as well. So I think that's the thing that worries me the most.
It's like a balance, really. Taking care of yourself is something that I'm kind of learning to do. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, why is it taking me this long to prioritize myself, quitting smoking?
Mm-hmm.
There's just like this whole side of you that opens up because I'm taking care of myself by not doing something, as opposed to like doing something new. It's taking something away. I'm better able to be there for my family and, you know, for my life. Like, I'm better able to witness that. I worried a lot about the fact that I was smoking. I worried about it. Like, I don't want to get emphysema. I don't want to get bronchitis. I don't even, you know, like just the whole, there's so many negative things that were there. What was I doing it for in the first place? It's weird how you can go through your life and then all of a sudden you realize like, oh no, I have changed. I'm not the same person. Although I still think I'm the same person I was when I had my first cigarette. I'm not.
And I mean, yeah, that's really incredible. The act of letting something go, but everything that opens up around it.
Now I'm free to worry about other things.
Because there's plenty of those too. But it sounds a lot more positive in the way that you put it previously, in the sense of like you're just able to like be there and notice different things about not only yourself, but about those around you. So sounds like a win. win all around. But I imagine it's quite difficult too.
Hey, Rachel, it's your turn. Do you ever worry?
A lot more than I should.
Right.
I'm the oldest out of my parents' two children. And I think that there's always a pressure to be the peacekeeper, to be the perfect one, to be the one who is the old reliable. I've felt that pressure since I was about 12, 13. I understand that my parents are aging and I will be the one that's probably taking care of them. And that's fine. I understand that. And, you know, I worry about a ton of variables in regards to that. I do worry that I'm not living up to my potential. I was a gifted kid. The expectations have always been really high for me. There have been a lot of moments where I haven't lived up to those expectations. That worry is always, it's always going to be there, even though it's like, who am I living up to these expectations for? No one,
right.
Myself. You know, I went to school, I went to college, I went to grad school, and I trained for a life that doesn't exist anymore. What did I go to school for? That's the thing that I do worry about every now and then. I worry a lot about those who are less fortunate than myself. I worry about growing income inequality. And as a historian, I wonder what this means for us as a people, as a country, as a city, as a state in the long term, you know. I also worry that I have cave syndrome, that the pandemic continuing to draw on makes me a little bit scared to kind of go out sometimes. Though I don't know why I need, at the same time, you know, my rational mind sits there and is like, well, no, you're fine. You're triple vaxxed, you know, an N95, and you wear a cloth mask over it because you bought a bunch of really cool cloth masks.
Right.
You wear them everywhere. You wear them in the grocery store. You don't eat in a restaurant. Like, you're going to be fine. You're not going to get COVID. But it's like, at the same time, I'm overweight. My husband has an autoimmune disorder, type 1 diabetes. So yeah, it's like, I worry about that. And I wonder if I shouldn't. So I worry about my future. I worry about my future at Pima. I've done a lot of work there. I've developed a class. I've developed an online class. I've been nominated for multiple awards. You know, I've done several, you know, continuous online trainings. I've done all sorts of stuff. And yet I know that it can all be taken away from me in an instant. But.
Oh, and that's one of those things that kind of it's kind of an undertow for all the worries, is that
you know, it can all be taken away in an instant. Even your worries could be taken away, and then what would you do without them? You know, like,
yeah. But I think the worrying and having something to worry about
is kind of comforting.
Well, it keeps you motivated. It gives you a reason to continue to move forward.
Hey, Fred Ronstadt.
Do you ever worry?
Do I ever worry? You know, of all the questions that you provided, that one made me laugh a lot. I worry about my kids, you know, if they're going to have a good life, if they're happy, and my grandkids and my family and friends to different levels. Obviously, my spouse, my wife, worry about, you know, her happiness and health and such. But it's not like it's not in my brain all the time. Anytime I worry, it's like a passing moment thing. And it's more, instead of worry, it's wonder. It's like I wonder what this experience is going to be like. Or I wonder, you know, if I'm going to like this person that I'm supposed to meet. You know, worry is fear-based.
And but wonder is curious. And yeah, wonder allows room for a good outcome.
So I think I'm more of a wonderer than I am of a worrier. I think all these things come down to how you take them in and filter them through your psyche. My way of caring about something is taking action versus going on a Facebook page and posting memes about, you know, the evils of
the Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you care about something, you ought to be taking action. It's not. Yeah, go back to the old phrase, you know, worrying doesn't get you anywhere. No, it doesn't. Action does. And, you know, saying that you worry about something doesn't mean necessarily that you care about it. But taking action.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah, it speaks volumes.
A-Frame, do you ever worry?
Because I worry about everything all of the time. I'm just trying to narrow it down, you know, to a good one. What's a good juicy worry that I have? You know, one thing that I worry a lot about, and you know, it ties into talking about creativity, but I do worry sometimes that I'm not making the great work. I'm not creating this ultimate thing, whether that's a book or the great painting or the great comedy set of all time, you know, not even for the world, but just for me. So I have this worry that I'm not reaching the full potential. That's probably my biggest, that's my go-to worry. That's a classic worry. That's in my greatest hits of worries.
I saw this lady on TikTok. She had painted her face green, and she put on like this bald cap and painted that green, and it was just like her eyes that you could see. She was all green in her neck, and you know, just all green. And she was very seriously looking at the camera, and she's like, she said something like, I don't know if I've lost my mind or if I'm living my best life. It really hit, you know. I was just like, girl, yes. I mean, yes. Because this idea of like, should I try that? Should I, like, that must right. be kind of fun. Like, right. should I cover myself in shaving cream and walk down the street? Would that be living my best life? Because I know it would bring me an intense amount of joy.
And sometimes you never know until you try.
So this idea of like, am I living up to my potential? Am I doing the good work as good as possible? Am I being as good as I can? Am I getting a straight A+ report card of life?
Right.
It's complicated because the thing about life is that it's 24/7.
It literally never stops.
Exactly.
Until it does.
It's infinite. And if anyone's keeping score, it's probably you.
Right.
And because you're the only person who's sole witness to your whole existence. And so you're the only person qualified to really keep score.
Right. So we end up finding ourselves worried about getting a good grade in the class that we designed and are also not only the student, yes, but the instructor.
Yes. You made the whole curriculum. Like, right, you're the one who decided you needed to do something in the first place.
Right. Exactly. And yet I'm still like, oh, I hope I do it good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good enough for Amber, because Amber's
right, a tough, yeah, critic.
Ooh, do you want to talk about your critic?
Jay Sherman?
Tell me more. Who's your biggest critic?
My biggest critic is Jay Sherman. John Lovitz's character from the titular 90s animation TV show, The Critic. And, you know, too often I make something and he says, it stinks. But really, Jay Sherman lives in my head and is just, yeah, my inner critic. It occurred to me at one point that worry is helpful if it inspires you to some sort of action. If you can look at and examine the thing that you're worried about and determine some actionable item, some actionable component of that, then that's great, because that's giving you something to focus on that can help alleviate that worry. But if upon examining the worry, there's nothing to do, then that can really go a long way toward helping to let go of that worry to some extent. Sometimes. It doesn't always work, but sometimes it does.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you to all my wonderful guests today. I'm so grateful for Amber Frame, Elijah Thumb, Fred Ronstadt, Stephanie Ings, Rachel Hoblett, Josiah Osego, and Dr. Nadia Alvarez Mejia. You know, everyone you meet, they've got something going on, you know? Everybody has something on their mind. And that's something that we all have in common. As we are in a more and more socially distant world, I feel really lucky that I was able to, with precaution, venture out in a little road trip just to change my horizon a little bit. It felt good. And I, you know, think that the things that we worry about, they'll be there in the morning. I do find it comforting to know that we're all very strong, and whatever happens, we just take care of it the way we always do. The same way we take care of everything else is we just take it one step at a time. And also want to thank my guests in Truth or Consequences, Brittany Jester and David, and my guest in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Colin McGuire. Thank you all, and thanks to Golden Boots for letting me use their music in our episodes. That makes it really special, so thank you for that. And if you want to check out more of this program, you can catch it all on kxci.org, from episode 1, which is Who Are You?, to episode 6, which is coming up next. We're going to ask our friends what makes them strong. Until then, stay safe and wear a mask. Because like Amy Goodman says, wearing a mask is an act of love. To hear more episodes of this and other programs, check out kxci.org.